Good morning, Reading. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show, Positively Healthy. Wow, today we have a very cool show for you. We have two amazing guests. You know, I've pulled up two columns that I've written for the Record Searchlight that have to do with chemicals in our personal care products. And, you know, what are personal care products? Well, that's everything from shampoo, deodorant, makeup, shaving cream, soap. Today's topic, I want you to become a label reader. And as our immune systems continue to get weaker, people are just more and more sensitive to the chemicals around them. There was a time when it was sort of politically correct to have some nice person in a department store spray you with perfume as you walked down the aisle. And this is something that is just no longer politically correct because people get sick from it. They react. They have adverse reactions to a whole lot of chemicals, not just perfume. They have them to bug sprays, deodorants, hairspray. And, you know, we used to think of the skin as a protective layer. Maybe you'd think nothing of dipping your hand in paint or maybe in Roundup or something like that. And now we know that the skin, it really is more of an absorptive layer. And so when we look at certain medications, we now use the skin as a way to give medication through the use of a transdermal patch or, you know, an adhesive patch that delivers medicine right into the bloodstream. And so, you know, the chemicals that are in, on, and around your life, they need to be moderated so that your immune system doesn't get overwhelmed. You know, the body can handle a certain amount of torment, of course, but then at some point, you know, it starts to succumb to the assault and break down. And so today we're going to teach you to start scrutinizing what you're putting on your body. You know, on our show so far, we've talked a lot about food ingredients and becoming a label reader. It's no different when you look at your personal care products. And so we're going to teach you how to start looking at those with a little bit more scrutiny. Some of the popular chemicals to avoid are things like sodium lauryl sulfate, words like methylparaben, propylparaben, propylene glycol, ethylene glycol. You know, some of these ingredients are fine to be in your brake fluid or antifreeze because that's where they're from, but they just don't necessarily need to be in your lotion. And so, you know, pull out your personal care products and start looking at them. On my website, on drtrudypratt.com, I have a list on there going down the left-hand column where it says beasts masquerading as beauties. And, you know, there's like a list that you can take with you to the store to, if you know, some of the words are long and they're a mouthful. And so you can take a shopping list with you and figure out what it is you should be avoiding. And so, you know, this is important because, well, you know, some studies estimate that 90% of some cancers, like breast cancers, are caused by environmental toxins. And so, you know, I mean, talk about an easy thing to eliminate. Well, you know, when you change your toothpaste to one that's healthier, I mean, you don't really notice. You don't really notice your different, if the lotion is different, you don't notice if your shampoo doesn't have these strong chemicals in it. You know, you're not trading anything really. And so it's a little bit of a no-brainer. And so when it comes to men, you know, the prostate does a similar thing that as breast tissue. It just sort of accumulates toxins. And so a lot of the times when you see a breast cancer study, you can almost just transfer it in your mind over to the prostate would probably react the same way, which leads me to the work of a UC Davis toxicologist by the name of Bill Lasley. You know, I talked to him under a year ago. He's done some research on antimicrobial soaps like Dial and Irish Spring. And even though it's not mentioned on the label, these strong soaps have a chemical called TCC or triclocarbon, and you know that it's put in there to reduce body odor. So it has, you know, what we think of as a reason. But according to Dr. Lasley, you know, the United States imports about 100 million pounds of this chemical every year to put in our soap, and this chemical is really hard on men's health. You know, it alters testosterone, and testosterone really is very good at regulating cells, and so it sort of allows the prostate to become unchecked and enlarged. And we're just talking about something as, you know, if you didn't know that, something as simple as Dial or Irish Spring soap or, you know, other antimicrobial soaps have this chemical in them. And so, go ahead.
Yeah, I understand that actually Irish Spring is not only hard on people, but it's hard on rats. Is that correct?
Well, I don't think I'm an expert at that. But what I do know is that there are people who do use Irish Spring. You know, like maybe they'll put it in their barn to get rid of the mice and the rats because rats and mice hate the smell. Is that what you're referring to?
That's what I'd heard, yeah.
Yeah, some people actually would rather have the mice and the rats than the smell of Irish Spring soap. So it's a strong soap. But coming back to prostate enlargement, just think about how easy that would be to change out your soap to something that you can actually pronounce the ingredients. You know, you're going to start becoming a label reader. And, you know, these chemicals, it's important to, you know, to do what we can to get them out of our food, our water, our cleaning supplies. And now, if you didn't know, our personal care products. And so when you change to chemical-free products, you should be able to find companies pretty easily. If you haven't seen the company Burt's Bees, even though they've been bought out by Clorox, they still have a lot of really, you know, the company still holds true to having very clean products. And then we have a company out of Florida, Aubrey Organics. You can find them at both of our local health food stores. Online, there's a company called RealPurity.com. Unbelievable company, just the cleanest products ever. No freaky chemicals anywhere. And so you don't want fake smells, you don't want fake colors, you don't want weird ingredients. And so, I mean, my feeling is, why wait for your shampoo or your soap to, you know, to show up in a university study? You know, why don't you change it out before you learn that it's got a problem? Hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. Welcome to the show today. We'll be right back after
this. Hi, Joe Adamson with Adamson's Peak Performance. Ladies, how are you fitting into your favorite pair of jeans? At Adamson's Peak Performance, we've got fitness solutions, including personal training, small group personal training, the Take Shape for Life nutrition and weight loss program, and now the Skinny Jeans Women's Boot Camp program. Call Adamson's Peak Performance at 221-8006. Get the details, get in the program, and get back into those jeans. Call Adamson's Peak Performance at 221-8006.
Hey, Rachel, did you hear about TehamaTradingPost.com?
I just heard about them on the radio. Did you go to their website?
Yes, I did. It's awesome. You can sell just about anything you want, from autos to real estate.
So it's free online classifieds?
Yes, and TehamaTradingPost.com has coupons for local merchants, and you can view the website from your cell phone.
Dad, can I post ads for new employees?
Yes, you can, and that's free also.
Dad, thanks for recommending TehamaTradingPost.com. I sold my boat, and I was able to buy a new car and find an apartment for our two new employees.
TehamaTradingPost.com. Buy local, shop local, dine local, stay local.
How did the stimulus bill affect you? Don Stack for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did bailing out financial institutions help you? Did cash for clunkers? How about bailing out the car companies? Did that help? As far as California is concerned, a study in 2006 by the Finance and Business Administration of the State University in Sacramento reports 99.2% of all employer business is small business. California taxes collected from small business were $492 billion, nearly five times the state's general budget, and almost a third of the state's gross product. The state is facing a $24 billion shortfall. There's talk in Sacramento of raising taxes, creating new taxes, taxing labor and service jobs. That seems like a sure job killer, and no way can it help small business create jobs. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hey! Welcome back, Redding. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show, Positively Healthy, here on KCNR 1460. We have a guest co-host today, Mark Beecham from the Record Searchlight, Mr. Opinion. Mark has a Saturday Opinion column, and he also has a very popular blog on Redding.com, and he writes those restaurant reviews you see in Date. Welcome, Mark.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a cool show today. We have two... We're going to start with a soap maker, Roberta Busher from Happy Valley, and then The second half of the show, we're going to talk to a cheesemaker from Orland. And so two processes people are so excited about. Everybody seems to want to know, like, how do you really make cheese? What goes into that? And the same with soap. You know, how is it? What kind of process is it that you have to put together? Everybody knows it's simple ingredients, but go ahead, Mark.
I was interested in making soap at one point, and then I found out, because I'm a kind of an instant gratification kind of guy, and I found out it's not something you do in an afternoon. It takes like a month, right? Right? So I sort of lost interest in it at that point.
Okay. Everyone's laughing in the studio. Well, welcome, Roberta.
Thank you, Trudy.
Yeah, and we have Terry Hathaway here, too, and welcome, Terry. And, you know, let's learn a little bit. You know, Mark's already depressed because it took a month, you know, but that's part of the art. That's part of the beauty of it all. So tell us a little bit about soap making. I mean, how long have you been doing this, and what got you into it, and...
Well, I've always appreciated handmade soaps, and when I was on a trip to Hawaii about 7 or 8 years ago, I bought some soap at a craft show and brought it home and started using it, and just fell in love with it, thought it was the greatest stuff I'd ever found.
Why was it better than anything you've seen here?
Oh, it was just the fragrance and the creaminess and the way it made my skin feel and the lather, and it was just wonderful. So I had the label it came with, and I went on their website, and I was going to order some more, and it had a section on how they make it, which intrigued me. So I went to Barnes & Noble, went to the library, bought every book on soap making I could find, started studying it, and was a little put off by the process because it is time-consuming, and it is, you know, you're dealing with lye and oils and everything. But I finally made the plunge. My first batch was a simple peppermint soap that I made in a lined shoebox, and just the whole process of mixing the oils with the alkali, just I was hooked from that moment on.
You were hooked. Oh, that's great. No, I've made soap maybe 5 times, and the first 3 times I think I just had beginner's luck, you know, where I didn't really know what I was doing, and then I had a group of people over for a soap making party, and it all worked out great. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like golfing. Then I started getting worse and worse. And then I realized I needed real skills and real information. So that's when I decided to just start buying soap from people like you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So take us through, like, what do you need? What are the supplies?
Basically, what you need, the first thing is a really accurate scale. Everything is weighed, not measured. You weigh your oils, you weigh your water, you weigh your lye, you weigh your essential oils. Everything that goes into soap is weighed, and it's very exact science. And other than that, you need a mold. You need stainless steel pots and pans, you know, basically stainless steel utensils. Good soap is olive oil, coconut oil, and palm oil. It's called the Holy Trinity of soap making.
Oh, I love all those oils. That's medicine,
yeah. They all bring
yeah.
a special synergy to the equation. Olive oil is very good for the skin. It's very moisturizing, but on its own, a straight olive oil soap would melt away very fast. It's the most gentle of all soaps, but it also has a tendency to get snotty and wear away fast. So along with that, I put coconut oil, which is really good for lather, but if you had a straight coconut oil soap, it'd be very drying to the skin. Also, I like to add palm oil, which brings a conditioning, and it hardens the soap, makes it a long-lasting good bar of soap. So I basically like to start with that. I add other things like shea butter and cocoa butter to different recipes. And so I start with those 3 oils and then add to it soybean oil on some of them. And then I add things like goat's milk, buttermilk, aloe vera, and I also make a beer soap, which I substitute water with Guinness.
Oh, my goodness.
And with St. Patrick's Day coming up, it's usually a pretty popular soap this time of year.
So now the process is what then? So you have a big vat. Are you warming the oils?
What it's called is I do the cold process soap making, but what it is I bring my olive oil, my coconut oil, which during the winter months, it's a hard, brittle oil, and palm oil is also not as hard and brittle as coconut oil, but it is a hard oil. So what I do is I bring them to a liquid temperature, and I put that in my sink and let it cool down. I mix my lye with the water, and that heats up to a very hot temperature, and what I do is let that cool down till they're about equal temperatures, usually between 100 and 105 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So once they're at the optimum temperature range, I add the lye water solution to the oils and start stirring. And in the old days, it took hours to stir, but now we use immersion blenders, stick blenders, and that makes them come to a trace fairly quickly. And once it comes to a nice emulsion, it's still liquid, but not quite really thick like pudding. I like to pour it into my molds. And I use silicone line molds that I get from a company that makes it very easy to make soap. I make 10-pound batches at a time. Once I pour the oils, I cover them and let them sit undisturbed for 24 hours, and they go through a saponification process where they'll heat up, come to a gel, and then cool back down. After about 24 to 48 hours, I take it out of the mold. I cut them into bars, and then I take them and I let them cure for 2 to 3, 4 weeks.
Okay, so basically then you have something that looks like a big, stainless steel pot of oil.
Right.
Okay, and then you have something that's cooling down, so you're adding a liquid, which basically is water that has lye in it.
Mm-hmm,
okay, so you're adding these two together. All right, so you have oil and water, and now you're mixing them together until you get this thing called tracing, which means it's leaving like this little streak thing, right?
Exactly.
That they're kind of starting to come together a little bit. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And so then you're pouring it in a mold, and then you're leaving that for a while until it kind of gets firm.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're slicing it up. Okay, and then, is that what you're pretty much saying?
Yes.
Okay, and then the curing starts.
The curing starts, and I put them up on stainless steel racks and let them air cure, turn them every once in a while so that they can have a nice long cure, which helps the water evaporate, helps the pH become more balanced, and becomes a nice bar soap.
And then the lye is just leaving, because that's what lye does.
Lye is saponified, and there's no trace of lye left.
Okay. Oh, is that interesting or what? Okay, we're going to a break here. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
Hi, this is Trudy Pratt. Have you tried the new Air Park Cafe lately? Owner Cindy Norris is known for her veggie scramble. It includes hash browns and toast for $6.50. It's my favorite breakfast in Reading. Air Park Cafe is located at Benton Air Park, where Gold Street meets Air Park Drive. The hours at the Air Park are Monday through Saturday, 7:30 in the morning to 2 p.m., and on Sundays a bit shorter, from 7:30 in the morning until 1:30 p.m. Come and watch the planes land at the Air Park Cafe.
Join your community in a cooperative effort to support and honor our veterans. That's what NorCalVets.com is all about. If you're a business, an individual, or a group that offers any type of discount to veterans past, present, and future, NorCalVets.com will provide free of charge a link to your website, description of your services or products you provide, and any discounting or additional services rendered to veterans. NorCalVets.com is all about our community supporting those that have defended our country. NorCalVets.com believes we should not only support our veterans and their families, but also those companies, individuals, and groups that support veterans. For more information, please visit NorCalVets.com and scroll to the bottom of the page for contact information. NorCalVets.com.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning
last. Okay, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to my show, Positively Healthy, here on KCNR 1460, and we're talking soap. We have Roberta Buescher in the house from Clear Creek Soap Making. Soap, what do we call you?
Soap Company.
Soap Company. Okay, and what's your website in case people just want to go there right now and start looking at your soap?
It's www.clearcreeksoap.com.
Okay. And so what you have now, you know, we've talked about the process, what it takes to make soap, and those who were wondering probably got inspired, and those who were thinking, well, yeah, I'm just going to buy it, you know, we can go to that now. I mean, you have in the studio all of this soap, these fabulous types of soap. And I know in my practice, we cater to kind of the chemically sensitive people. And so you have your plain Jane shea butter unscented soap that we use a lot. But then some that just have straight essential oils we use, like this lemongrass, or here's your unscented organic carrot buttermilk soap. I mean, these are beautiful soaps.
Thank you. So
why don't you tell us what else you have that I haven't mentioned over here? I see that's for shaving. That's sort of that comes with a brush for.
Yes, and it's a round soap which would go into a mug or a dish. And I also have the brushes. And what people like to do is lather up the soap with a brush. And what the difference is with the shaving soap is I add kaolin clay, which helps the razor glide over the skin. And I also add aloe vera, which helps with the sting and helps soothe the skin after shaving.
Ah, brilliant. Okay, and then what are these other? Here's a lavender oatmeal soap, and here's a spearmint eucalyptus. And what else do you have over there?
Those are my essential oils. And mm-hmm. most of my soap I make are made with essential oils, but I also have people that just like different fragrances, and some things do not come in an essential oil, such as gardenia and mango. And so I do make some with the fragrances. And so I also, cinnamon orange clove, which I think is your favorite.
Oh, yeah, this is my favorite. Oh, that's why it's my favorite. It smells unbelievable.
I also make a soap that's called a sea salt spa bar. And what it is it's about 80% coconut oil with 20% olive oil, and I add equal amount of sea salt to the bar. And what it is it's kind of a brick-like substance, but when you're, instead of soaking in a tub of sea salt, you're washing with it, and instead of a very sudsy lather, it's more of a creamy, low-sudsing lather, but you get the benefits of the sea salt in the bar. And
now,
so
I got that for Christmas. That was that was nice.
It's very body-smoothing.
Yeah.
Where can you get the soap, and what's your website again?
The website is www.clearcreeksoap.com, and I do sell it in Reading at a few stores, Wild Thyme Garden and Gifts, Back Rubs, Infinite Designs, Crafters Mall, Anthony's Video in Westside Village, and Miss Bella's Boutique on Hartnell. And in Red Bluff at Village Pottery, and I also sell at some natural stores in Arcata, and then in the Southern California, there's a couple stores that carry it also.
Do you do any of the farmers markets?
I do. I do the Saturday farmers market that's starting up April 10th at City Hall on Saturdays. I do the Sunday market, which starts in June at Sundial Bridge. I do a Wednesday Weaverville market, and sometimes the Tuesday and Thursday market in Reading. And I also do a lot of craft shows and natural product shows, too.
And the price, the retail price of your soap is what, typically?
Generally, $4 to $5.
So some people who are used to buying, you know, soap at Rite Aid or wherever, or Costco in bulk, they would think, well, that's a little expensive. But it reflects the ingredients and the time that you, as a craftsperson, put into it. But also, these bars, they last a long time, right?
They do. They last longer than the average store-bought soap. But also the popularity of handmade soap, people are willing to pay a little bit more because of the ingredients, because of how it makes their skin feel. And people cannot use the store-bought soaps because it does strip your skin. And people with eczema, dermatitis, sensitivities, they just can't use it. Even Dove, who has an unscented soap, actually has scents added to it.
I'm surprised, too, how just by changing someone's soap, you can really change their skin. You know, I mean, people have so many underlying little skin issues, and by cleaning up their chemicals, they can have some dramatic changes. Now, what's that kind of loofah-looking thing over there?
It's a loofah.
Okay.
And what I do is I take a whole loofah, and I core out the center of it, and then I pour the soap in it. This one is a spearmint peppermint, and actually it's really good for feet because the spearmint and peppermint is cooling, but it also sloughs off the dead skin, and it's exfoliating. It's very rough, so when you get it wet, it lathers up, and the loofah gets soft, but it also will scrub any dry spots that you want to soften up.
Oh, great. Now, I see also, what are those, lip gloss or kind of chapstick things?
Yes.
Or?
I make a natural lip balm. It's made with natural beeswax, sweet almond oil, coconut oil, vitamin E, and natural flavor oils. And these are very popular also.
And then you have something here also that is a little bit on the perfumey, frilly side, because I can smell it in the room.
I brought you some patchouli perfume and some amber essence perfume. And what it is it's a natural perfume. I infuse the resins in either jojoba oil, which is very close to the human skin, or fractionated coconut oil, and then I strain it and make a perfume out of it, and so it's a natural roll-on. There's no alcohol to evaporate, but it stays on. You put it on your pulse points, and it's just a very nice, subtle, warm perfume.
Gosh, how exciting. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. We'll be right back after this message.
Welcome to Five Star Bank, where we take a professional, progressive, and personal approach to every relationship. Whether you partner with us through our small business banking program, open a Capital Green savings account, or secure a home loan through our mortgage division, you'll find that Five Star Bank genuinely cares about you. Really, it's all about relationships, and we would like to get to know you better. Come on into our office at 358 Hartnell Avenue or visit us online at fivestarbank.com. Professional, progressive, and personal. Five Star Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
If you're a diabetic Medicare Part B patient, you know how frustrating it can be receiving your supplies from a large mail order company. The supplies you get may be the wrong ones. They may be delayed for some reason, or they may not arrive at all. And when you call with questions about your order, you can seldom talk with a live person. Well, here's great news. Owens Healthcare can now help you with your Medicare diabetic supplies. We're local, reliable, and you can talk with a real person. Enjoy the convenience of receiving your supplies directly from our diabetic experts at Owens Healthcare on Court Street, downtown Reading, or have them delivered right to your door. We will automatically call you when your supplies are low so you won't run out. And we'll bill your Medicare Part B insurance as well as any supplemental insurance you may have, resulting in no out-of-pocket expense to you. Now, really, can you get that kind of service from a mail order company? Call today and have your supplies to you tomorrow. Owens Healthcare, making your life easier.
If you're looking for natural remedies for your health problems, look no further. East Earth Tradewinds, Reading's most complete herb store, has hundreds of Chinese herbs, books, essential oils, and more. You can also make appointments for acupuncture treatment or oriental therapeutic massage. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Visit us at 144 Hartnell Avenue in the south end of the Raley's Cobblestone Shopping Center. That's East Earth Tradewinds, 144 Hartnell Avenue in Reading.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just
hey, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we're just finishing up our segment with Roberta Buescher, and we're learning about soap today from Clear Creek Soap Company. Roberta, you know, a couple of last things here before you go. You know, you have a kind of a rub-on product that we use in our practice that has arnica in it that helps a lot of people with pain. Now, what is that? What's in that?
It's a arnica muscle rub, and it's made with arnica blossoms that I infuse for about 6 weeks in olive oil. I strain that, and to that I add a little bit of menthol and camphor, lavender essential oil, and peppermint essential oil, and then I make it with the natural beeswax, coconut oil, sweet almond oil. And what that does is when you have any kind of muscle pain or aches, you rub it into the skin, and it warms up, and it does a deep heating like a tiger balm almost. And the arnica is just very healing. And arnica montana is really good to take pre- and post-surgery to help with swelling and bruising. And so the arnica muscle rub also will help with the muscles and also with bruising.
Well, you know, my mother loves that product for her knees. You know, she has knees that need a little help, and so she's able to put that on her knees with a whole lot of success. And so I want to thank you both for coming on today. And after this break, we're going to come back with our friend Tim Pedroso from Pedroso Cheese down in Orland. He's going to be on the line, and we're going to talk cheese. So thanks, you guys.
Thank you, Trudy.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Sharon, owner of Home Helpers. Listen Saturdays as I host Senior Solutions. I will focus on informing our aging seniors and their families of resources in Shasta County. Guests will join me in discussing home care, estate planning, health care issues, veterans benefits, financial concerns, and area agencies and resources. Sponsors include Home Helpers, Spectrum Prosthetics, Sierra Oaks and Oakdale Heights of Reading, Nancy Goddess Elder Law Attorney, Shasta County Adult Protective Services, and Owens Healthcare and Pharmacy. That's Senior Solutions Saturdays at 1, right here on KCNR 1460.
Market volatility seems here to stay. What does this mean for your investments and what steps should you take? Uncertain times call for experience that you can trust. By working with your Morgan Stanley Smith Barney financial advisor, you'll gain insights that can answer these questions to make important investment decisions for your portfolio today that can help you reach your future goals. Please call Rick Hill at 223-4200. That's Rick Hill at 223-4200.
Whether you're 5 or 85, there's something for everyone at the annual NorCal Boat Sport and RV Show and Sale today through Sunday at the Shasta District Fairgrounds and brought to you by Taylor Motors. It's acres of fun and entertainment for any and all sport lovers with boats, motorhomes, campers, trailers, guides, resorts, marinas, personal watercraft, wildlife art, fishing tackle, guns, auto accessories, camping, and RV accessories. All that plus kids' trout fishing pond, retriever demonstrations, backcountry horsemen, bass fin demonstrations, Dutch oven and barbecue cook-off, hundreds of exhibits, exclusive show prices, houseboat giveaway, splash dogs, and Gunner the Clydesdale. If you're a sports enthusiast of any kind, there's something for everyone to see and do, plus plenty of once-a-year sports show-only deals. The NorCal Productions Boat Sport and RV Show opens today 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., tomorrow 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., featuring the latest in sport and recreation at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Sponsored in part by Fox 20, The Record Searchlight, North Valley Bank, and Coors Light. Admission is only $5 for adults, $3 for kids 7 to 15, kids 6 and under free with adults.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just
welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show, Positively Healthy. Well, you know, we've learned a lot about soap making, and on the line, I believe we have Tim Pedroza from Pedroza Cheese. Are you there, Tim?
Yes, I am.
Well, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, thanks for calling in and being our guest today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. You know, our first half of the show, I know you probably don't get KCNR down there, but we talked about soap and we learned about this long process of curing and waiting around for the soap. And you know, our second half of the show, we have you and another long, interesting process that everybody wants to know about.
Right.
So this whole cheese-making thing. So when did you guys get into the cheese business?
Well, we moved up to Orland 11 years ago. I'm originally from Merced County, and I'm a third-generation dairy farmer.
Ah.
And then we found this little place that was actually already in cheese production, and the couple that owned it wanted to retire, and so it was a perfect fit for my wife and I to move up here and start making cheese.
Oh, it sounds like it would be. And so then you already had cows, or you brought them with you? Or?
Yeah, we brought our cows with us from down in Merced. We had started a little grass-based dairy farm down there back in 1996, I believe.
So, Tim, what makes your cheese different than what I would find, say, at Tillamook Farms or something at the local supermarket?
Well, our cheese is real unique in that, well, for one, it's local.
Yay, we love that word.
And then, number two, we are a grass-based dairy farm. Most of what the cows eat is grass, and being that we're up here in Northern California, we always have a little bit of grass growing, unless we did have several weeks there when the weather was so cold. I don't know if you remember back in December when we actually were down into the teens. That was probably the only time we don't get some grass growth here. And so my cows go out on some pasture every day of the year. So even though during the winter months I have to feed them a little more hay and grain, like today, the cows went out on pasture, and that's going to make up about 80% of what they ate today.
Oh, how wonderful. And, you know, we know that if a cow is out eating grass, you know, it's getting sunshine, and it's getting vitamins A and D, two vitamins that people are usually really deficient in. So
right.
The more we can have cows out on grass as a healthcare practitioner, you know, that just has me smiling. So
that's
exciting. Yeah, yeah. And so you have these cows, and then now tell us about the cheese-making process. What exactly? You go out, you get milk, and then what do you do?
Okay, well, the cheese-making practice, the cheese is, the way we make it is truly holistic in that, again, the cows eat mostly the grass that they're eating, and then we bring the cows in and we milk them. The milk goes into a bulk tank where it is cooled down to 34 degrees, and then we pump the milk over into the cheese vat, and then we gradually raise that temperature back up of the milk back to cow temperature, about 101 degrees, and that's when we add the starter, and where the actually that's where the magic begins, is right there.
And how long does that process take to make cheese?
So from, well, the first part of the process probably takes about, well, about an hour or so, and then once we add the starter, we let the starter work with the milk, and that's what then gives the cheese the flavor, so to speak, because it ripens the milk, and then we, once the pH is dropped to the ideal number, then we go ahead and add vegetable rennet, and that rennet then is what coagulates the milk, and the milk looks just like yogurt. And at that point, we gently cut the curd, and then we gently reheat the curd, and that's what keeps binding the proteins together. And each step that we do with the heating of the milk is constantly lowering the pH. And after that point of the cheese being, the curd being cut, then we, what we call herd the curd, and hoop it into what we call hoops. And then from then on, it goes to a press, and then the press presses out the excess whey, and there you got cheese.
So how thick is it at this point? Like, at what point is it starting to look like what we would know to be cheese? Is it just sort of like thick yogurt right now?
When we get the cheese in the press,
uh-huh.
Once it's hooped into the mold, then it looks like cheese within, let's say, an hour.
And then you let it age for a certain time.
And then the next step would be going into a brine, and then the brine is what creates the outer surface of the cheese and gives it, you know, the skin, and then it goes onto the shelves, and then it's aged for a minimum of 60 days. And but our most premium cheese, which we call our Black Butte Reserve, that is made now with probably the best milk of the year, the spring milk, you know, that is aged a minimum of 6 months. And I have, and then, of course, as it gets ages, it gets stronger, or I don't want to say stronger, but, you know, a better flavor.
What kind of cheeses do you make?
They fall into what they call the washed curd category, or alpine type cheese. We use a variation of a Gouda type recipe, but all of Western Europe and pretty much all of the world has a similar cheese process to what we make here on our farm. It's an ancient aged cheese process, because years ago, before we had the technology to heat the milk and cool the milk, and this particular cheese could be made directly right out of the cow with the starter, and then of course they would use natural rennet, and it could be made pretty much without a lot of mechanical or I don't want to say artificial, but using a lot of outside energy to create the process.
I'd love to ask you a little bit about the challenges a small businessman, farmer, dairy farmer face. But first off, where can we buy your cheese locally?
Well, locally we have it available at several stores in the Reading area, at the organic grocery store Orchard.
Sure, yeah, Orchard Nutrition Center. Uh-huh.
Orchard Nutrition Center. And then Kent and Kathy's out near the airport.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
And then we are in negotiations with Sunset Marketplace.
Oh, very
out
good.
There.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to get it into there. And we have done the farmer's market in the past, but because we have some challenges with cooling and that kind of issues, it's Reading Farmers Market has been somewhat of a challenge for us.
You mean so, because it's hot, or because the cheese, you're trying to have people be able to see it and look at it and taste it, but it's hot out, or is that what you mean? Or
yeah, that's what I mean, as far as I think it's a great market, but since it is a perishable product, we have some limitations to get people to taste it and buy it. And so that's probably one of our biggest challenges. Distribution is a challenge, just because when you're small, it's hard to get distributors to pick up your product. And when you're a small business person, I wear mini hats throughout the day.
I bet you do.
Being that I milk my own cows pretty much, and I help in the cheese making and help with the cut and wrap. And tomorrow I'm actually going to do the Sacramento Farmers Market with my sister and speak at a slow food gathering that they're hosting down in Sacramento.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hey, Tim, we need to take a quick break.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, don't go anywhere. Hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy, and you're listening to cheesemaker Tim Pedroza from Pedroza Cheese in Orland on KCNR 1460. If you want to call in, you can call in at 605-4567. Thanks.
If you're a diabetic Medicare Part B patient, you know how frustrating it can be receiving your supplies from a large mail order company. The supplies you get may be the wrong ones. They may be delayed for some reason, or they may not arrive at all. And when you call with questions about your order, you can seldom talk with a live person. Well, here's great news. Owens Healthcare can now help you with your Medicare diabetic supplies. We're local, reliable, and you can talk with a real person. Enjoy the convenience of receiving your supplies directly from our diabetic experts at Owens Healthcare on Court Street, downtown Reading, or have them delivered right to your door. We will automatically call you when your supplies are low so you won't run out. And we'll bill your Medicare Part B insurance as well as any supplemental insurance you may have, resulting in no out-of-pocket expense to you. Now, really, can you get that kind of service from a mail order company? Call today and have your supplies to you tomorrow. Owens Healthcare, making your life easier.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Have you ever heard of colon hydrotherapy? It's a way to clean, tune, and rebuild your large intestine. Chris Mann, owner of North State Hydrotherapy, is a certified colon hydrotherapist with a practice in Reading located at 3067 Victor Avenue. Chris rebuilt her own health using colon therapy and can help you. Call Chris at 223-3656. That's 223-3656.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last, just kicking down.
And welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. And we're interviewing cheesemaker Tim Pedroso from Pedroso Cheese in Orland. And Tim, welcome back.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, good. You're still there. Hey,
I'm still here.
Hey, everything's working like it's supposed to. I love it. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about distribution. You know, as part of the mission of this show and pretty much my whole life is has to do a little bit with getting people back in touch with their farmer, getting to know their farmer, this idea of getting farmers to know each other, and getting people to eat local food that they know what kind of soil it was grown in, et cetera. And so, you know, we've talked a lot about food, a lot about grass-fed beef, all sorts of different topics as we've gone through this radio show. And you're the first cheesemaker we've talked to. And, you know, every different type of farmer has complications, or there are things that if it was only a little bit different, you know, what is it that you're finding that is frustrating for you?
Well, in the distribution network or challenge, I think, Northern California is in an odd location in California, and that we are kind of out of the distribution loop. We're not in the Bay Area. We're not in Southern California, and we're not, of course, we don't have that dense population closely in a close proximity. So it leaves some difficulty here in Northern California. And so that's one challenge. And the other challenge is we don't have a strong network yet it's hard to pinpoint the word, but we don't have the network of just commonality of how difficult it is for farmers like myself to get product to people. And so that's been somewhat of a difficulty. But I'm working now with a small group of producers, and hopefully within the year, by this summer, we will have a CSA where...
Which is what for those folks at home?
As a community-supported agriculture. And it's basically a buying club, so to speak. And you would pay in advance, but you would get a weekly shipment of dairy products from our little organization, or cooperative, actually, is what it is. In this co-op that I'm involved in, it's called Go Real Milk, and we have one producer who does bottled raw milk. We have a goat cheese producer, and then I'm in that group with my Farmstead cheese, and then we have another Farmstead cheese producer from down in the Tulare area. And what a person would do is they would go on to the website, they'll order, and with that order, we're actually seeking out right now a spot like in Redding or anywhere in Shasta County. I would drop the product off there, and somebody would go to that location and pick up what they ordered in the prior week.
Hmm, that makes sense.
And so that's one of the things that we're doing right now. I'm involved in a CSA buying group right now in the Bay Area. And they place their order once a week. I fulfill that, or I think it's every 2 weeks. I fulfill that order. It goes to one collection point, and then the group picks it up at the collection point.
Go ahead, Mark.
Give me a sense of what it's like to sell cheese to, say, the Bay Area versus Redding. I mean, if you were selling to a cheese broker in the Bay Area, you could sell it by the wheel, I presume. Whereas if you were trying to get into Sunset Market, you would have to package each individual piece of cheese yourself in plastic, and then it would be labeled and then sent to Sunset, and the cost would necessarily reflect that. Is that right?
Well, yeah, there is a, well, it depends. I mean, of course, you're correct for Sunset Market and Orchard Nutrition. They do not have what they call a dedicated cheese counter. So that without that dedicated cheese counter, it requires that we cut and wrap the cheese and send it in. And every time that cheese is handled by somebody else, of course, that is going to increase the cost to the consumer.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Tim, we have a call coming in. Okay. I'll go ahead and take it. Okay. Dan, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's everyone there?
That's good. We're doing super well. We're talking to Tim Pedroso from Pedroso Cheese down in Orland today.
I met Tim at a Weston A. Price meeting, and we traded some ground beef for some cheese, and actually I picked up I think it was a quarter pound of his Northern Gold at the Orchard on my last delivery run.
Oh, wonderful. Gosh.
And Tim, I wanted to ask Tim something about some of the challenges I've encountered is when you try to go into a supermarket is you don't have a barcoded product.
Now, let me make sure that Tim can hear you. Tim?
Yeah, I didn't quite hear that.
Okay. Go ahead and say that again, and we'll make sure that we're all hooked up here.
Okay, Tim, your packaging, you have like a vacuum type
right.
seal. And then when I bought your cheese at Orchard Nutrition, it looked like they had put their barcode on it for you.
Right.
Or had reweighed it. Do you run into challenges, say, going into a larger store, not having a barcoded product?
Well, that's kind of, it's, since when I go into most, the deli department is not, or they call it specialty deli. Most of those larger stores don't require that I have a barcode. But you are correct. The larger that I would get, let's say if I got to where I'm shipping lots of pounds of cheese, they would require me to have a barcode.
Yeah, and you know what's challenging for us, like for example on our one-pound burger packages that was that we'd have to have a barcode basically for every individual weight. But I think something that maybe, you know, I think at some point I'm going to have Mark help me write a book about all the workarounds that I've had to employ, you know, wearing the same many hats that you do.
And I'll it's kind of sometimes it's fun, but then sometimes it wears on a person.
There's two things that I will say that I can see that could be helpful. One is don't underestimate the power of your customers. Tell them to go to the stores and you know, basically demand your product. And so why don't you have this here? The second is, because the stores are very sensitive to that, the second is, this is a little bit of a workaround. You could, I understand that each chunk of cheese, I'll call it off the wheel, could have a slight variation in weight.
Right.
One workaround that I might suggest is you could buy a single barcode, like we have a single barcode for our eggs.
Uh-huh.
As long as there's 12 eggs of a minimum size in that carton, there's one single price, so you don't have to account for if there's any variation.
Right.
You could buy a single barcode and put it on your box of cheese. However, you would be required to keep that cheese within a tolerance of weight to the whole batch average out. It would be a net weight, selling it as a net weight.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, for example, on our burger, which I'm more familiar with, some packages may be 1.01 pounds, some 0.99, but as long as the whole lot is representative of 1 pound.
Okay.
And that they all average out and that the variation amongst the packages wasn't significant. According to our weights and measures here in this county, you're okay. So theoretically, you could buy a barcode, which will cost you less than $100, have stickers made of that one single barcode,
Oh, that's really helpful. Yeah. Hey, you know what? We're running out of time right now, but you know what I'd like to do is I'm going to give you guys each other's phone numbers, and you know, Dan from Lazy 69 Ranch, you've walked through this fire, and I just love your wisdom. Hey, and we ran out of time now, but this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you heard it here first on Positively Healthy.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, clearly news talk radio for Reading. This is KCNR Shasta, Reading.